One evening when I was, probably about 16 or 17, I was out driving with a friend. I don't exactly know where we were going, but we were driving around Texas Tech's campus. And we began to drive north of campus where there's not a whole lot around. And we began to come into a section of streets that weren't very well lit. And I prepared at an intersection to take a left-hand turn, and when I did, I saw in front of me that there was a small median that I was about to hit. And so quickly, I made the decision to jot to the side to try to miss it. At least I thought. I jotted to the side, but still, whenever I hit the next street, the truck all of a sudden goes boom. And luckily, there's nobody else on the street, so I stop, I get out. First thing that I look at is my tire that's completely shredded up. And then I look back at that median. And I realize that what I thought was a small median was actually a very, very big median that I couldn't have missed with the little bit amount of correction that I made. Seeing something is not the same as perceiving something. Even though I could see the median, I couldn't perceive it well enough to miss it like I needed to. It's great to have one thing. It's great to have the sight, but without the perception, you could still end up with a flat tire or worse. This evening, we're going to look briefly at an episode between Jesus and the chief priests and the elders, where they saw the answers that were in front of them, but they were not able to perceive what they meant. And really that didn't mean anything especially good for them. So if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And I'm going to begin in verse 23 this evening. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." When the chief priests and the elders approached Jesus, they really came at him spitting in fury, demanding to know why Jesus did what he did. They approached him with a question. Now, it could be that the Pharisees or the elders and the chief priests are speaking about the teaching that Jesus is doing at the moment. We know Jesus did not teach like anyone else. He taught as one with authority. It could be that they were recalling just the day before when Jesus came into the temple and began turning over tables and kicking people out. But whatever is on their mind, they storm up to Jesus, ready with fingers to point and mouths to throw accusations. And they beg to know, "Who gave you the right to do what you do?" This is a very interesting question to me, considering the tapestry of events surrounding this question that's at hand. Jesus, in his response to them, brought up John the Baptist. When John was preaching in the wilderness, what was one of the great proclamations that John had for the people? In Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 11, John speaking here says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals." He speaks about the one who is to come after him, who is going to baptize them with Holy Spirit and fire. There was someone who was coming after him that was greater. He spoke of the one to come. After John made these proclamations, Jesus came on the scene. And he made quite a name for himself through healing and through teaching. Swarms of crowds would come from near and far and flock to Jesus for his teaching, for the healing of his miracles. And at some point, probably fairly recently to the passage that is our main text this evening, Jesus traveled to Bethany and he performed an amazing miracle by bringing Lazarus back from the dead. And this was something that these chief priests couldn't miss. We read in John chapter 11, starting in verse 45. This is after Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. "Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs.'" The chief priests, the ones who are approaching Jesus and asking him about where he got his authority, demanding it, got into a council after he performed this amazing miracle of bringing somebody back from the dead and speak as if it was an accepted fact between them that Jesus is performing miracles, that he's performing signs. Now, the day before our passage, as after Jesus had flipped the tables in the temple, we read in verse 14 of Matthew 21, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw, when they saw what? The wonderful things that he had done. And the children who were shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna, the son of David,' and they became indignant and said to him, 'Do you not hear what these children are saying?' The chief priests and the scribes saw. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed. They saw the blind and the lame coming to him in the temple and being healed. They saw people who were stuck with this affliction without a cure, people that had no hope. They are being healed and cured. They are as good as new. And who stands at the epicenter of this all? Jesus does. This same Jesus they are jabbing fingers at and saying, "Who told you that you can do what you are doing? Who gave you authority?" If I was driving down the interstate and I passed a sign that said 20 miles to happy, and I kept driving and I saw another sign that said 10 miles to happy, and I keep driving, and I see another one that says 5 miles to happy. And then I take exit 88B for happy, and I drive across the train tracks, and I pass Happy Nutrition. I pass the happy post office. I come to the Happy Church of Christ. Where do the signs all point me to being at? I'm in happy. Yeah. All the signs of miracles and the power of God pointed to Jesus as being who he was and having the authority of God behind him. And the chief priests and the elders, they saw this. But their perception was a little off. So when they run up and demand answers from Jesus, what he does is he puts the ball in their court. He asks them, "The baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men?" And the thing that it strikes me immediately is how well these men do actually perceive things. In an instant, they realize that they're in a pickle. And they see a dilemma in the form of the question. They begin to reason among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet." They can see things pretty well, if they want to. Now, during their deliberations, they take quite a few things into consideration. They think about how Jesus will respond to their answer. They think about how the people will respond to their answer. They think of their fear of the people. They think about the people's belief in John. They're thinking about a lot of things. But what they're not thinking about is, what was the source of John's baptism? Was it from heaven or from men? They're not thinking about the actual question that's being posed to them. They put their heads together and they try working out this problem like it's a mathematical equation, and they have some of the right set of numbers. I mean, they do include a mention of heaven and John in their calculations, but they're not using things the way that they need to. God's message has never changed. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 16, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Does that not sound so similar to the message that John was preaching in the wilderness? John preached a repentance and baptism for the remission of sins. A repentance and baptism. And he speaks in Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 9, "Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And then the crowds begin questioning him. What does this mean? And he says, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise." And then some tax collectors came up to him to be baptized. And they ask him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he says to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." And then some soldiers come up to him and they ask him, "And what about us? What are we supposed to do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice." God's message has never changed. If John's message wasn't from heaven, if his baptism wasn't from heaven, where could it have been from? Well, the chief priests and the Pharisees answered, they don't know. Well, Jesus, he presents some more information to them in a form of a parable. And then we see that their lack of perception, we get to see kind of where their lack of perception comes from. Starting in verse 28 of Matthew 21. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." After Jesus tells this parable of the two sons, Jesus reveals that the reason that the chief priests and the elders have a little bit of perception that's askew, it's not because they don't have the answers. They have the answers there. They saw the answers. But it's because they did not believe them. Jesus refers to two groups of people here that listen to John and his teaching. We have the chief priests and the elders that are listening to Jesus now. And then we have the tax collectors and the prostitutes. We've been talking about perception tonight, and both of these groups had a certain perception about them. The tax collectors and the prostitutes were perceived as kind of unforgivable. Just plain sinners, not able to live a righteous life. But they did not allow that perception to be truth. And they broke free from that. And that's how we can all stand today. We can have this perception that we are unforgivable, that we are not able to live a righteous life, that these things are not unattainable, or we can overlook, we can break that perception and break free. But the high priest and the scribes, however, they had a perception around them as being infallible, and that kind of perception slipped into their own form of thinking. And because of this perception, they were held back and were retained in bondage. There's another side of the coin. We can also have the perception that we are infallible, and that leads to bondage. But both people, both groups of people saw the median in the window. They saw the median coming up. But one perceived how great of a threat it truly was, and they veered quickly and the right amounts to avoid it. The other group was just heading straight towards it. But Jesus gives them the option to perceive now. He reveals the truth to them. In verse 31, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." They had already accepted the command to work into the vineyard of the Father. But what Jesus doesn't say within this context is that the men that he is talking to now couldn't still feel remorse and enter in behind them. That option was still available, and I pray that they took it. Maybe they did. Maybe they were part of the 3,000 that were added on the day of Pentecost. I hope so. But we today are able to perceive what they missed initially. Do we perceive the glorious authority behind the words of the everlasting, true, living God that He has passed down to us? Do we perceive His will for us? Do we hear His call? Today, son, go work in my vineyard. The Father said, go work today. As long as life continues still as normal on this earth, the daylight of today is still bright and beautiful outside. There is still work to do. Workers are still needed, are still able to be added. And there still remains work for us all to do. If you need to be added to the kingdom this evening, if you need that tonight and need to be baptized, please come forward while together we stand and as we sing.